Good evening. When Joy called and asked me to speak, it took me a couple of seconds to realize she was not asking me to MC. She was asking me to speak. And then came the flood of thoughts, fear of what do I have to say, and fear of not being qualified. But God dealt with both those fears. First of all, he reminded me that I was right. I don't have anything to say, but he does. And then he reminded me what his qualifications are. In 1 Corinthians 1:27, God has chosen the foolish things of the world, and he has chosen the weak things of the world. So I knew I was very qualified. And I told her I would speak. My desire tonight is to focus our attention on our Savior and to bring honor and glory to him. I probably won't be saying anything new to you, but I think it's important for us to be reminded of the things that we already know so well. And I trust the Lord will use this time to speak to each of our hearts. Before I begin, let's look to him in prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege we have of being used of you. Thank you that you, when you call us to do something, you also give us the strength. You never leave us. And Father, I truly want to glorify and honor you tonight. I pray that you will speak through me, both to my heart as well as to the ladies' hearts tonight. And may you be exalted in the message, in the music, and in our time of fellowship afterwards. Thank you for each one of these ladies here. And we pray these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As most of you know, I have 9 children, ranging in age from 22 down to 9 years old. Or I'm sorry, down to 4 years old. I know my children. And I treasure each one. Now I have your attention. I love being a mom. I love hearing the sound of Winnie the Pooh Bear and little baby doll jingling as our 4-year-old comes down the hall first thing in the morning. I love the special sayings that come from the young ones, their childish imaginations as I watch them play, and the hugs and kisses and the I love yous that they give. My husband and I have pet names that we sometimes call each other, and one of the names I use for Kelly is Good Looking. The other day while I was outside painting with our 6-year-old boy running off some of his energy, I heard him call from the driveway as Kelly drove in, "Mom, Good Looking's home." I had to chuckle. I just thought it was so cute, and I cherish these moments. I treasure them. I also love the times that I have with our older children. They've become friends. Sometimes we just reminisce and laugh about the past years. Other times we just visit and just enjoy being together. And all of these times are times I treasure in my heart. But I want to look more closely tonight at the treasures of another mother, Mary. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Verses 1 through 19, and I'll be reading out of the New American Standard Bible. Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds, staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. I looked up the words ponder and treasure. To ponder means to think or consider quietly, soberly, and deeply. To treasure means to retain carefully or keep in store, as in the mind. To regard or treat as precious. To cherish. I think Mary was one who thought deeply. There are two other places where it speaks of this. One is in Luke 1:29, when the angel Gabriel appeared to her. And it says, starting in verse 28, "And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was." Also in Luke 2:51, after finding Jesus who had stayed behind in Jerusalem, it says, speaking of Jesus, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart." As we consider some of the things that Mary pondered, we will be doing some speculation, but I will try to keep it focused on the scriptures. Unlike most mothers who can only think back as far as the beginning of a pregnancy when considering their child's past, Mary had a very three-dimensional view when thinking of Jesus. She had eternity past, she had eternity present to view him in, and she had eternity future as well. This little baby, though he was fully man, never at any point ceased to be God, even for a moment. He had always been. He was the creator of the universe, the one who placed the sun, moon, and stars in place, the one who created man and breathed the breath of life in him. He was her creator. He was the one who had held and still held all things together by the word of his power, as it says in Colossians 1:17. How much of this did Mary understand? How much of this did she ponder? All of the Old Testament pointed to Christ, beginning at in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15, when it speaks of the seed of the woman, all the way to the end of the Old Testament. All of the sacrifices pointed to Christ, who would be the perfect sacrifice. And it makes you wonder what went through the mind of our Savior in his earthly ministry when he saw a lamb being sacrificed, or if Mary fully understood the meaning of a sacrificed lamb. So not only did the sacrifices point to Christ, but there were many specific prophecies that also spoke of him. In Isaiah 9, verses 2 and 6, it says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Another prophecy in Micah 5:2 states, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity, and there are many more." I'm sure Mary well understood the scriptures, but how much she fully grasped about the little one that she held in her arms, we don't know. We do know, though, that she understood clearly that Jesus was the Messiah. Gabriel announces to Mary in Luke 1:31 through 33. It says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. When Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth in Luke 1:41 through 43, Elizabeth confirms Gabriel's message to Mary that indeed she is carrying the Messiah. It states, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? It was also confirmed through the shepherds, as I read previously in Luke 2:10 through 12. The angels announced, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then going down to verses 16 and 17, it states, so they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. Even in Zechariah's prophecy in Luke 1:76, Zechariah says, and you, child, speaking of John, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his way. And then finally in Luke 2, verses 29 to 33, as Jesus is presented in the temple, Simeon states, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. It confirmed over and over again that Jesus is indeed the long-awaited Messiah. As Jesus began to grow, Mary observed firsthand his perfection. No one knows a child like a mother does. And if there had been any imperfections, Mary would have seen it. He never said an unkind word. He never lost his temper. Never acted selfishly. His interactions with his siblings would have even been more telling. No conflict between the children would have ever had Jesus at the center of it. He never sinned. In fact, if you were to have gotten a glimpse inside their home, I'm sure we would have seen Jesus in the midst of these conflicts, seeking to make peace. It would have been hard for a mother not to compare Jesus with his brothers and sisters. Mary also observed his interactions with herself and Joseph. As a son, he was always respectful, loving, and cheerfully obedient. We do get a little glimpse of this in Luke 2:46 through 51. It tells of the time when Jesus, being 12 years old, went with Mary and Joseph to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When it came time to leave, Jesus, unbeknownst to Mary and Joseph, stayed behind in Jerusalem. After a day of traveling, they began searching for him, assuming him to be with relatives or friends. When they did not find him with the caravan, they turned around and went back to Jerusalem. The passage reads, then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. And he said to them, why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand the statement which he made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. I'm sure there was a mixture of fear and anger when they found him, thinking he was being thoughtless. But Jesus, longing to be in his father's house and about his father's business, his heavenly father's, was fully in the right. Any frustration or anxiousness that Mary might have felt was not sin on Jesus' part, but on Mary's. Though they didn't understand Jesus' statement that he must be in his father's house, Mary observed his submission to them, coming home and continuing in subjection to them. And here again it states in verse 51, She treasured all these things in her heart. Let's skip ahead a little bit to Jesus as a man. We don't know all that Mary saw of Jesus' miracles, but we do know for sure that she was there for the first recorded miracle at Cana of Galilee. In John 2, 1 through 5, we read, "On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.' And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come.' His mother said to the servants, 'What he says to you, do it.'" I rather doubt that this was Jesus' first miracle. It would seem that Mary had observed Jesus' miracles before. She saw the embarrassing situation this family was in, running out of wine while the wedding feast was still in progress. And she was very confident that Jesus could and would take care of their needs. We see this in her statement, "Whatever he says to you, do it." All that she had pondered and treasured was building faith in her heart that he truly was the Christ. We wonder what else Jesus saw, what else Mary saw in Jesus' ministry. Was he there when Jesus healed the centurion's servant? When the woman was healed just by touching the fringe of his garment? Or when Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead? How about the feeding of the 4,000 and the feeding of the 5,000? Certainly, if she wasn't there for these miracles, she had heard about them, and how her mind must have raced as the puzzle pieces began to fall into place. Israel's king, Israel's Messiah had come. How her heart must have treasured it all. But then came the fulfillment of the prophecy that Simeon said would pierce her own soul. Her son, whom she loved and treasured, would become the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, as proclaimed by John the Baptist. A mother's worst nightmare, to see a child, regardless of age, suffer. But this was no ordinary son. All she had seen, pondered, and treasured seemed to pierce her even more deeply to her very soul. This was not an ordinary man dying an innocent victim of a vicious crime. This was her son, her perfect son, the Son of God, the chosen Messiah, the King of Kings. She stood at the foot of the cross watching him suffer, wanting as a mother to take away the pain. Seeing him as he suffered, look down at her and lovingly make arrangements for her care. Even in his worst physical pain, he was thinking of others, as he always did. Then came the realization of why he was dying. Isaiah 53, 4 through 6 said, "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourgings we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." He was dying for the sins of his people. He was dying for her sins. But what about the prophecies of his eternal kingdom, the throne of David that Isaiah had prophesied would be forever? No doubt she had pondered this also. Her son's eternal kingdom, his future that would have no end. How did this all fit together? It seemed the puzzle was falling apart. Amidst all the glory, the prophecy of suffering had somehow seemed obscure. But the next picture we see of Mary is in the upper room. Acts 1:14 says, "These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." Jesus had suffered, but he had risen again and had ascended to heaven to his eternal throne at the right hand of God. It isn't apparent to me if Mary was there at the ascension of Jesus, but now we see her with the followers of Jesus continually devoting herself to prayer. The eternal kingdom of her son was not an earthly kingdom, but a heavenly one. And now she awaited the promised Holy Spirit. What wonder, what amazement must have filled Mary's heart as she looked back over all that had transpired over the years of her son's life. The baby in a manger, the boy in the temple, the man on the cross, God incarnate, her Savior. The son whom she delivered became her deliverer. Mary pondered all these things and treasured them in her heart. In closing, I would like us all to search our own hearts. What are the things that our hearts treasure? I'd like to look at three responses of those in the Bible who heard the word of God. First, there were those in Christ's ministry who heard but rejected him. John 6:66 tells us that many of his disciples, his followers, withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. These were those who heard but did not go any further. They did not believe in him. It also tells us in Luke 2:18, after the shepherds had made known to the people what had been told them about the child, that all who heard wondered. But it doesn't say that all who heard believed. If any of you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to encourage you to be those who hear and believe and come to Christ. But secondly, there were those who, like the shepherds in Luke 2:20, glorified and praised God for all they had heard and seen. And I hope the message of our Savior and the hope that we have in him causes us all to do this. But I want to suggest yet another important response. As I'm sure Mary praised and glorified God, she also took those things she saw and heard and treasured them, pondering them in her heart. As we memorize God's word, as we read it for ourselves or hear it proclaimed, let's make sure that it is our treasure. Let us treasure it and ponder it in our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We are so thankful for you and for all that you have done, for your endless love, that you are faithful always. And even in our unfaithfulness, you remain faithful. And I pray, Father, that if there is anyone here tonight who does not know the Lord, that you would work in their hearts and draw them. And I pray that you would cause each of us to praise and glorify you with our lives, but to take your word and truly make it our treasure. And we pray all of these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.